Hey, we're at Audio 46. Blessings to you. May the power of the Spirit of God that we're going to read about today, may you be filled and stay filled with the Spirit of God. Audio 46, we're on Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 8. Your workbook, I think page 51, Audio 46. These are the great words right here. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. That word filled again and again, we're going to see all the way through the book of Acts. We're going to find out in Ephesians 3, we're to be filled to the fullness of the measure of God. We're going to find out that we're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts or in Ephesians 5. So that's Jesus full of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist filled with the Spirit from his mother's womb. So this is the primary word, and it's a really great word to be used in the context of this. It is the word pleru. It is the word plethu, you know, depending on the ending here. This is the idea of having been filled and filled right now, ongoing. You're staying filled. Filled with the Spirit of God. Stay filled. Don't grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't neglect the Lord. Don't diminish the fullness of his. You have fullness of God, fullness of the Holy Spirit, fullness of the Spirit of God to glorify Christ, to show you everything about Jesus, to illuminate all of Scripture, to guide you, speak to you, comfort you, lead you. You're a temple, the Spirit of God. Now you're clothed with power from on high to be filled with the Spirit of God, to live a Spirit-filled life. Jesus stayed full and to without measure in Jesus. We're going to find out Barnabas, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. Every single Spirit-filled person in the book of Acts led people to Jesus. Everybody filled with the Spirit were prayer warriors, worshipers. Around the Spirit-filled people, healings occurred, deliverances occurred, signs and wonders occurred, miracles occurred. And in the context of persecution, in the context of intimidation, that's what this backdrop is here. So the backdrop here in Acts 4 8 is they're examining, they're questioning, they're interrogating, and the goal to intimidate, they know what they want to do. They want to shut it down. I'm going to tell you, the devil wants to shut you down. The world wants to shut you down. And depending on the nation you live in, the Satanists would want that, whatever. And even the devil himself would want that. Remember Jesus said in the Last Supper, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith will not fail. So the important thing is to realize that all believers, born of the Spirit of God, it is God's will to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, you can read about that clearly. Don't be filled with wine and debauchery and all that. Instead, be plethu. The idea of fill, this word means filled to the max, if not overflowing. Filled to the capacity, to where it cannot be filled anymore. We all have capacity, and basically, I mean, I believe Spirit-filled people were seeable, because in the book of Acts, the writer never says, I'm filled with the Spirit, and he's always pointing to others, and Peter, filled with the Spirit, and Barnabas, a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, and Stephen, you know, so it's always, they're seeable. I want to say this, too. I believe in a real sense they're feelable. You have people filled to the sense that there's manifestation of God, the Holy Spirit coming through them. And that's God's will for all of us to be that way. It's God's will to be saved. We repent. We believe on the Lord Jesus. We accept by faith the living Savior. He comes in by the Holy Spirit. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God. Many believers are clothed and filled right then in that moment. Many others are to be filled. Paul, we'll read about later in the book of Acts, chapter 9, when he had to have a believer come over and pray for him to be able to see again and to be. And here's what the disciple said to Paul, and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to make a very big issue with this about being filled. Now, I'll use that. I'll give you terminology, baptized with the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, anointed, grieving, quenching. We're going to look at a lot of aspects. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's the word filled is always associated with dunamis, power. And Spirit-filled believers in the book of Acts, there are Spirit-filled believers all the way through. And we're to be Spirit-filled. And we're to be the idea of fooled. Now, this word, again, the construction of it in the Greek is having been and are staying that way. You're right now still filled and full of the Holy Spirit. You have been and you've stayed that way. The only way to, you don't lose the Holy Spirit, but if you get into sin, if you put your faith down, you can grieve, Ephesians 4, that is to make sorrowful the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5, we're commanded, don't quench, put out his fire. In you is the fire of God. In you is God the Holy Spirit. He's to unveil all of Jesus to you. He's to unveil all the scriptures to you. He's to, from the inside out and from your whole being, point to any sin, kick it out. You know, this is Romans 8. If by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, sins, kick them out. Because why? Well, you've been forgiven, you've been freed from, and with a new nature, you've got power over sin. So whether you read Colossians 3 or Romans 8, put it out of your life. That's what God, and that's what the Word of God's. You can now, because the new nature, the Spirit of God in you, you can now obey the Word of God. Spirit-filled people obeyed Jesus. Spirit-filled people, their lives glorified Jesus. They knew Jesus deeply, experientially, the best. They were growing deep in the Lord. I mean, they being Spirit-filled, you grow more and more powerful. Acts 9:22. You grow quicker. Your worship's deeper. Your prayers are empowered. You pray Spirit-filled. You witness Spirit-filled. You live in your household Spirit-filled. You read Scripture Spirit-filled. You go to church. You gather with believers. Being filled is the will of God. This is very important. It's the privilege. It's the will of God. And I want you to know that being filled is for all of us. And I'm going to say that being filled means be filled to the measure of the fullness of power, dunamis. There's the expressed power to be the witness of Jesus. And the Spirit of God then will motivate you, lead you with the love of Jesus, to be a soul winner, to be a prayer warrior, to be a worshiper, to love your brothers and sisters, to love the Scriptures, to fill yourself with Scripture. And Spirit-filled believers, all the way through the book of Acts, they were the ones praying and seeing healing, rebuking demons and seeing them cast out. And they were the ones, in the work of Spirit-filled evangelism, they're the ones that seen God accompany that with sign, wonder, miracle, and so forth. Again, Mark 16:20 comes into mind here, and Jesus being right there. So it's very important for me to say to you today that Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Now that's important when he's speaking, what he's going to say to them. That's going to be very big and very important because there's a presence and a power. See, when we're filled with the Spirit and speak by the Spirit of God, and in a real sense, power comes in those words and comes out of us. And that's where, right out of what we have to say, where the Spirit of God convicts or convinces the people listening of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and of who Jesus is, and of their need. That's a good thing. So, being filled with the Spirit of God, he said to them, look how he addresses them. And there's a sense of gentleness and respect, but boldness here too. He doesn't curse them. He doesn't call them names. Rulers of the people and elders of Israel. That's who they're known to be. He can address them like that. And we're going to see later Paul addressing a king and in front of political leaders. So to the rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if today we are being examined on a krino, meaning to be investigated in a sense on a judicial level, I mean really, really highly examined. It's almost like being in a court of law. In a real sense, it's the court. of the leaders. You've been brought together. You've been brought there to answer for yourselves. But again, these leaders already knew what they wanted. These were already Christ rejectors. These were already the ones that were. And I'm going to say again, I think we need to make sure we understand that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they did not believe Moses. They had really made up religion. of their own in a real sense, a cult. Pharisees and Sadducees, I think, were a cult. And Jesus, again, examines them, and he tells them who they really are in John's Gospel 5, 6, and 7. So these are the ones examining. They're now scrutinizing. They're investigating. Now, if we're being examined, let me get this right now. If we're being examined concerning a good deed, a healing done to a crippled man, how this man has been healed, if that's what you're asking, if you're asking about, because they were, the power, by what power did this man who's now jumping and leaping and praising God, this is important about healing. When Jesus heals, or Luke 5:17, when the power of the Spirit is there, in the name of Jesus, when people are healed in the biblical sense, the way Jesus does it, the way it's done in the book of Acts, instantaneous and complete. Now, I believe there's times we get over things. I believe there's times when God helps us. I believe that there's good doctors and there's things that happen there. But we are part of those, like in even James 5, anointing with oil, the prayers of faith, heal this, you know, raise up the sick person. Healing is part of the gospel. By stripes we are healed. Healing is before the atonement, in the atonement. Look at Jesus. And although I think Western Christianity has lost a lot of that, they've separated it and put it way behind. It's right in the center here. Saving, healing, delivering, and miraculous signs, wonders, all collectively together. It's all connected. The Word of God and the powers of God, the works of God, inseparable here. And that's what we want right now today. Same Jesus, same Lord. So they're being examined, so maybe you're going to be examined for a changed life. Maybe your life is so changed. Maybe you came out of homosexuality. Maybe you come out of some deep sin. Maybe you used to be a Satanist. Whatever it may be, or here you are, you got saved when you were 6 years old, and like John the Baptist, you just lived a strong, powerful life in Jesus. And people are saying, why all these years? Why would you, and this is again where the questions come in. They want to know, what's the supernaturalism? In the day that we live, there's a lot of masqueraded demon, massive supernaturalism. And I'm going to tell you that prophecy tells us in the end of days, counterfeit signs, wonders, miracles. So we got to make sure that when we see supernatural, is it from Satan or is it from God? What Satan does leads people away from, confuses people, points to the miracles themselves or the people doing it, counterfeit stuff. It's real but lethal and wrong and leads people away. Every time it's by the Spirit of God, but done, it's in total sync with the Word of God, glorifying Jesus, and that's what we see here. This man healed in the name of Jesus. Power of God's involved, like Luke 5:17, the power of the Lord was present to heal, in the name of Jesus. We've been saved in the name of Jesus. We call on the name of Jesus. We, in prayer, we pray in Jesus' name. We rebuke demons in the name of Jesus when we pray for healing in the name of Jesus. And we're going to see why here in a moment in this text. But this is a good thing. If you guys are all gathered around here to ask about a good thing, about a life that's delivered, about a life that's out of jail now, about a life where God changed something, well, let me tell you about that good thing that God did. In this case, it's a crippled man being healed. How this man was healed. Verse 18. Clearly now, Spirit-filled believer says, be it known to you, be it known to you all of you, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. Now let me stop right there. I think that he took advantage. I think, again, when your question put up against the wall, you turn to speak truth boldly. Jesus did this. Jesus changed my life. Jesus got me out of that. Jesus healed me. Jesus delivered me from demons. Jesus got me out of the drug world. Jesus got me out of Satanism. Jesus got me out of addictions. Jesus did this. Jesus healed me. Jesus raised me. Now, when he does this, Peter knows who these people are. He knows who's behind the crucifixion. He knows who's involved here. And so he lays it out very clearly. Led by the Spirit of God, he's not holding back. He's speaking truth. So if you're going to speak truth, the Spirit of God, don't grieve, don't quench, don't hold back. That's what quenching is, holding back. The fire of the Spirit of God to come out clearly to say to these guys, be it known to you, he's speaking in the power of the Spirit of God, be it known to you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that's how the guy got healed. And then he goes on, whom you crucified, that Jesus who healed this man, that good deed, that name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. He doesn't stop there. He's not just been killed. He's not just dead. He's not hanging on a cross. Whom God raised from the dead. Now again, Psalm 16. 1,000 years in advance, he'll be raised from the dead. Jesus said, you know, he knew in advance he's going to raise up. He had authority, John 10, to lay his life down and to raise it up. I love Romans by the Spirit of Holiness, declared with power to be the Son of God. The exertion of the Spirit of God, we read about in Ephesians. The resurrection of Jesus. You have crucified whom God raised from the dead. Now, I'm going to say two things. Jesus Christ, crucifixion, and raised from the dead, resurrection from the dead, power of God flows out of that. I'm telling you, that's where the power of God in applying to people and letting the Spirit of God convict, letting the Spirit of God convince, letting the Spirit of God deal with somebody. You pour out Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified. Because of you, he was crucified. Because of you, he gave his life. Because of you, he died for you. But God raised him from the dead. Always, God raised him from the dead. There's a powerful witness. And so he says right here, he applies this now. He applies this message of the gospel. Jesus Christ crucified, was buried, but was raised from the dead. It's the gospel. It's the good news. It's what the angel said in Luke's gospel to you, right? I have good news for all the people. Good news of great joy for all the people. A Savior has been born. And this is who he is. Crucified and raised. God raised him from the dead. And there's scriptures in the Old Testament, scriptures we read in the New Testament, that all point to that. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Spirit of God will always bring bold and powerful witness when a believer is pouring out Jesus, who's been crucified, who's died for you, and whom God raised from the dead, that needs to be boldly proclaimed. And so Peter finishes by saying, by him, by Jesus Christ of Nazareth, this man stands before you whole. Wow, what a testimony. What an incredible thing. What an incredible thing. When you see lives upon lives upon lives, when I see, you know, parents that have asked me over the years when their kids got saved or vice versa or drug addicts or whatever, and then there's people that they want to examine. How did this happen? What happened to his life? You know, he quit doing, you know, we had a young lady when I first got saved. She was mad at me and my friend because we helped lead our friend to Christ, her husband, and she was mad. She was demanding for him to turn back. Look what you did to him. And she wanted him to turn back to the old sinner he was. He held up his Bible one night and said, if it comes between you and this, he held on to his Bible, told his wife this, I want the Bible. I want Jesus. She got saved a week later. And 45 years later, they still serve the Lord, and their kids know Jesus, and they serve God with great goodness. So, you know, being born of the Spirit of God and saved, there's massive testimony there. Mark chapter 5, the demonized man set free from the demons that nobody can get him out of. Jesus wanted him to go tell all the people what good things Jesus did for you. Can I ask you a question? What good things has Jesus done for you? Saved you, forgiven you, lives in you, guides you, directs you, you know. Remember Psalm 103? Don't forget all the things Jesus, you know, all the benefits God gives. Forgives all our iniquities, heals all of our diseases. I want to encourage you to look at Psalm 103 today and remember all the great things. Focus on the good things Jesus has done. And if there's some things in your life that you have troubles with, take it to the Lord. Cast your care on the Lord. Go to Him. Get an answer. Get a miracle. Get a deliverance. You know, in Psalms, I tell people this all the time, in all the Psalms, study deeply. You're going to find that when the writer goes through pain and problems and difficulties and attacks and all these things, when he makes God the refuge, when he brings it to the Lord and he gives it up to the Lord and he trusts the Lord in every case, either God speaks, a deliverance, a word, there's an answer. Always. There's always an answer. You can go to the past things that haven't been answered yet and say, Lord, I want to answer on that. I want to seek you. Psalm 139, search me, Lord. And I want to be healed of anything in the past. I don't want anything to inhibit me. Lord Jesus, if there's anything I need to trust you on, if I don't have an answer right now, I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. He'll guide me. Today, Jesus saves, and today, Jesus heals, and today, Jesus delivers from demons and dark powers, and today, Jesus does healings. And when those things are done, and when the saved and the healed and the delivered and the restored stand there in front of everybody else, and people are asking, you know, antagonistically, you know, all these questions, it is by Jesus Christ, this Jesus whom died for you, whom, you know, you're the reason he was crucified. And God raised him from the dead. And God is coming and calling you and summoning. And that's where we're going to get you here in a moment. But I want you, that's what you press. That's what you respond with. Power in the gospel. A powerful witness of the Spirit of God in preaching Jesus and his crucifixion and his burial. And God raised him from the dead. Amen. Blessings to you. I'll see you in the next audio.